This afternoon, we open the Word of God in two passages in the New Testament. We first turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and read the verses 6 through 16. And secondly, from Ephesians chapter 1, the verses 11 through 23. So 1 Corinthians 2, beginning at verse 6. This is the Word of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Spirit, Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's our first passage. We now turn to Ephesians chapter 1, where we read from verse 11 to verse 23. Ephesians 1, where we begin reading in verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So far, the reading of God's holy word, then based on that word, we also echo that word in Lord's Day 20. We find it in the back of our Psalter hymnal on page 27, Lord's Day 20, which is in the order of the exposition of the doctrine of salvation this afternoon. So there we echo the word of God as follows. What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, He, as well as the Father and the Son, is eternal God. Second, He has been given to me personally, so that by true faith, He makes me share in Christ and all His blessings, comforts me, and remains with me forever. That's Lord's Day 20. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, at the end of this morning's worship service, brothers and sisters, you received the blessing from the triune God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit with you all. You received the promise of the Holy Spirit in order that you would live through the Holy Spirit in communion with Him. So how do we have to understand this? How do we enjoy this communion with Him? Well, that's what we will have to see in Lord's Day 20. In it, we receive instruction of the church about this third person of the triune God. We'll need God's special wisdom for that, as preacher and as listener. We'll be speaking about matters that are hard to fathom, difficult to comprehend. Still, we have to do so because we must honor and worship and glorify the Holy Spirit just as we do the Father and the Son. We confess, beloved, that the Holy Spirit, together with the Father and the Son, is true and eternal God. He is God, just as the Father and the Son. Then it's easier to think of a person when speaking about the Father and the Son than about the Holy Spirit. Still, the Holy Spirit also is a person, the Comforter and Counselor, as the Lord Jesus calls Him. By sending Him, the Lord Jesus ensured that He would not leave us behind as orphans. He took His place as the new Emmanuel, God with us. You can grieve Him, Paul writes, or resist Him, as Stephen says, or lie against Him, as Peter holds up. He is a person with whom you can speak, with whom you can have a relationship, enjoy communion. He is God with us, so that in my communion with Him, I have a personal relationship with God. He comes to dwell with me, in me, just as God used to dwell among His people, Israel, in the temple. Or as the Son walked among God's people in the flesh. He also speaks to me, to us, in the church, or through the prophets, as we confess in the Nicene Creed. So when we receive the blessing of the communion of the Holy Spirit, beloved, we received such a life with God, a spiritual life. He brings us in contact with the Father and the Son. He helps us believe in the triune God. He draws us into the divine household to live with God. Yes, to take part in His divine nature, as Peter writes in 2 Peter 1 verse 4. He moves us to call upon the Father, saying, Abba, Father. He unites us with the Son as branches on the vine and makes us fruitful through Him. He in us and we in Him. Indeed, such a spiritual life is a rich blessing, a great joy within the circle of the triune God. It's therefore a joy for the church every Sunday again to receive the promise of the communion of the Holy Spirit and to experience the blessings and workings of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, when we receive this promise, we have to accept it, believe it, and go to work with it, filled as we may be with the Holy Spirit. That's what I may proclaim. The church rejoices in the Holy Spirit and His work. He shares the secrets of God. He shows the promises of God. He seals the people of God. So I summarize the message of this afternoon as follows. The church rejoices in the Holy Spirit and His work. He shares the secrets of God. He shows the promises of God. And He seals the people of God. So first of all, He shares the secrets of God. Remember, brothers and sisters, what the Lord Jesus foretold us the Spirit would do. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. John 16, verse 14. Indeed, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He places God's work of salvation in Christ in the limelight. He brings the work of the Father and the Son to our attention. In this way, He works faith in God, faith in all the promises of the gospel, and makes us partakers of Christ and all His benefits. It's with the proclamation of the word, as with the sacraments of the Lord's Supper and holy baptism, it makes us focus on Christ's sacrifice and on the love of the Father in the gift of the Son. Now, when we completed the part in the Heidelberg Catechism about God, the Son, and our redemption, beloved, we have come to the conclusion that for us there is life and a future only when we seek it outside of ourselves in Christ. We came to that conclusion because we had confessed God, the triune God, who in the Father created us and all things. We learned what God's purpose with man had been and what happened to man in the relationship to God. We admitted our guilt and accepted God's justice and condemnation. We also believed that in the death and resurrection of Christ, we have the only ground for our salvation. Now, how did we come to all that? Understand this reality and believe and confess it. We don't know that or believe it from ourselves. The natural man does not accept this story, which is rather foolish to him, says the Apostle Paul, as he indicates in our scripture passage in 1 Corinthians 2. The natural man can do much with a story like that, an explanation like that, and a prospect like that. He finds it annoying and irritating, even foolish. It's only when the Holy Spirit opens our eyes and our heart for it that man will do something with it. God has revealed it to us by His Spirit, says Paul in verse 10. Yes, the Holy Spirit gives us a deep look into the heart of God, showing us the secrets of God, the deepest thoughts and feelings. It's not so strange, Paul also shows us, brothers and sisters, that the Holy Spirit makes this known to us. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. He reveals to us the deepest plans and purposes God has with this world for his people. It's that way with us people too, that our own spirit is the only one that really knows what's going on inside and discerns the thoughts and purposes of our heart. Now, it is this Holy Spirit who knows what's going on in God, whom we have received. Hence, we know our history, our condition before God, and our deliverance and joy of a new life from the best source possible, firsthand, through the Spirit of God himself. Whoever doesn't have the Spirit laughs about the weakness and foolishness of the cross. But the spiritual man shares in the secrets of God's plan of salvation, his grace in Jesus Christ. The spiritual man understands the wisdom of God in it and sees the love of God, because the Spirit shows him the depths and workings in the heart of God. Now, how does the Spirit do that, beloved? Well, as we express with the words of the Nicene Creed, the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets. So if you want to be filled with the Spirit, you will have to read these prophets and the Gospels that refer to them and the epistles that are built on them. Indeed, Paul himself came to know the way of salvation from the prophets because he saw their prophecies fulfilled in Christ. We have the mind of Christ, he says. As Isaiah the prophet expressed it already, no one has known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him. Only those who have the mind of Christ know what the will of God was, and the way of salvation, and the purpose behind Christ's death and resurrection. Thanks to the Holy Spirit, we know the secret, the mystery behind God's good pleasure and behind his purposes for saving people. Thanks to the Holy Spirit, we may know the truth, as Christ promised. I will send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will lead you in all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Yes, in that way, the truth came to the apostles, and via them it came to us. Christ gave his Holy Spirit to share with us the secrets of God, of his heart, and to bind on us the Word of God, filled with the deepest wisdom of God. You see, brothers and sisters, then there's also the gift of prayer by which we receive the Spirit of God to fill us, to enlighten us, and direct us by his word. Yes, also the celebration of the Lord's Supper reminds us of this love of God in Jesus Christ. While alive by the promises of holy baptism reminds us of God's own desire to dwell in us. Our triune God wants to live in communion with us again. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit want us to live in love to God and a neighbor again. Yes, then they also rejoice and are pleased when they are worshipped and glorified again. Because we sing our psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in joy and love and communion with them. Indeed, what a manifold ways in which the work of the Holy Spirit is coming to us. Yes, what a mysterious ways we observe by which the Holy Spirit draws our attention, reminds of his desire to share the truth with us. Even by our conscience, he is speaking to us when we neglect to listen or forget to read his word. Also by his ways in our lives, he reminds us that we cannot live except by the grace of God and through the power of God. We may be inclined to do otherwise, but then he comes to us every Sunday again to show us our sins and misery and remind us of the secrets of the cross of Christ. In this context, and in connection with this, beloved, God's word also speaks about the grieving of the Holy Spirit. Just as the other expression showing us the inner feelings and thoughts of God, like quenching the Spirit or lying against the Holy Spirit, they disclose the displeasure of God or his disappointment or even his jealousy. Yes, our God is a jealous God. You know, we can be so busy sometimes with our own life, our personal concerns, anxieties, or whatever, that we don't have time to read God's word, or pray, or sing with our family. Then we should be reminded of those inner emotions of our God, of which James speaks in his epistle. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? Well, that first. Then secondly, he shows the promises of God. So when we have seen, therefore, brothers and sisters, that it's a matter of heart to heart, so that the Holy Spirit helps us look into the heart of God, then we should realize that the Holy Spirit also wants to work in our heart. He wants to see our heart open to God. He wants to see our life flourish in love to God again, and a new life develop through the mind of Christ. Then we realize that this is a work in progress, always. We won't become holy and perfect people overnight. In fact, so often we wonder whether it will ever come to anything really new. How often does it happen that you are disappointed with yourself, sick of your own sins? In our forms, we call that detesting ourselves. Well, let's then realize that this too is a work of the Holy Spirit. An unbeliever doesn't detest himself because he's disappointing or displeasing God by his life. Who cares? It bothers us, though, because we know better. And by his Spirit, we are ashamed of ourselves. It's part of the battle, beloved, in our life between the Spirit of God and another spirit, Satan. Satan doesn't want anything better than that you grieve the Spirit of God. Quench this fire of God's Spirit in your heart. Satan always works on the weak spots in our heart, in our life. That's why it's so important to come to church week after week and receive from God his triune blessing Sunday after Sunday. That's when your life flourishes again and grows in the Spirit. It's the beginning of a new life. Thankfully, therefore, the Spirit also shows us this aspect of his work. It's the comfort that our Lord's Day speaks about, referring to the Holy Spirit who holds up to us the promises we have and the benefits in which we may share through Christ. Yes, the Holy Spirit doesn't just prod us to be more holy to change. Rather, he shows us what we have in Christ by the grace of God. Paul says that too in 1 Corinthians 2. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. The spirit helps us realize that if it had to come from us, it would never amount to anything, but that we may hope and trust in God, in his divine power. The Holy Spirit is the other comforter, beloved, the Lord Jesus said, or advocate, or paraclete, as we sang in one of the hymns. The Lord Jesus himself is the first advocate, as we already have seen in Lord's Day 18, who pleads for us in heaven. He pleads on the basis of his own blood shed for us and for the forgiveness of our sins. He is the best advocate one can have, who can obtain acquittal for those who are his, because he bore the curse for them. Now, he also gave us a comforter here on earth, one who is very close to us and who continues here and now Christ's care for us, Christ's work in us and with us. He shows us God's promises that are yes and amen in Christ. His blood, for instance, which showed God's love more clearly than anything, he lays that close to our hearts, so that our heart that is down because of our sins is revived, refreshed, and nourished every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper. He works in our hearts so that our heart is turned to God again. He reminds us that we are children of God through Christ's blood and moved to call upon him saying, Abba, Father. That's how he helps us, strengthens us in times of doubts or temptations, when we wonder whether God still loves us. Now, is that something mysterious, beloved? A work that you can't really articulate, explain, or describe? No, not at all. It's by the preaching through the Holy Spirit that he shows us Christ's work, holds up to us God's promises concretely. Yes, when we, through weakness or due to sin, lose sight of God's fatherly love and compassion, the Spirit himself prays for us, as Paul shows in Romans 8, interceding for us with groans that words cannot express. Yes, then he prays to God the Father, appealing to his inner mercies, and he prays with a view to us that we should remember the faithfulness and steadfast love of God. What a joy it is indeed to see this work of the Holy Spirit revealed to us and worked in us and for us. Yes, in us. He is in our hearts and uses God's promises the way Christ did in our minds. Thus he works peace and joy and fills us with a firm conviction that he is there for us. He gives us the assurance that Christ did not leave us behind like orphans, but rather is close to us, with us, and in us. Yes, for that purpose, Christ has also sealed us with the Holy Spirit. Our third point, he seals the people of God. We read about that too, beloved, in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Our Lord's Day speaks of this aspect in the work of the Holy Spirit, where we confess that He is given to me to remain with me forever. The Holy Spirit is the seal on the gift, on the package, containing all the benefits and merits of Christ. As the form for baptism puts it, He imparts to us what we have in Christ. It's the same confession which is stressed in the canons of Dort, assuring us of the perseverance of the saints thanks to God's preservation. Then there too, as we have just seen in the previous point, we are reminded of the sins that continue to cleave to us. Yes, sins that in the life of David, Peter, and Paul are considered deep and grievous. Yet, thanks to God's faithfulness, He will finish perfectly what He with them and what He with us has undertaken, as we will sing afterwards. Contrary to the Remonstrants or the Arminians, who taught that believers could fall out of their faith, we confess that God will not let go of those whom He sealed with the seal of the Holy Spirit. Now, does that mean or imply that this all works out automatically? Does it make believers complacent, beloved? Careless or easygoing? Not at all. As the canons say in Article 12 of Chapter 5, rather, it produces in them a great concern to observe carefully the ways of the Lord, which He prepared beforehand. It incites them to humility, childlike reverence, and a constant joy in God in exercises of faith like prayer, the reading of God's Word, to meditation on it, to thankfulness and good works. The confession that you may belong to God through Christ brings you closer to God more and more. As we confessed in Lord's Day 1 already, therefore, by His Holy Spirit, He also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for Him. What a wonderful work, this work of the Holy Spirit. What a joy it renders to see His workings in your heart and mind, in your life. It makes you sing as He assures you of God's love for you. Come, praise the Holy Spirit, for we, the Word believing, were with the Spirit sealed. Amen.